disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
A little bit of trouble again, doing a little Facebook thing. Didn't even mean for it to be a big thing at all. I posted on my Facebook page, talent on loan from God. That's what I posted. Death is a great equalizer. Turn to Jesus, Rush. Does anybody see anything? Anybody see anything controversial about that? Controversial? You know, This sounds like it's self-serving. I said to my wife, I said to somebody last week, man, wonder how long Rush is going to be able to keep going. I didn't mean that in any particular way or wishing him ill. But folks, all of our talent is on loan from God, every bit of it. And I did get an encouragement. I've often questioned whether or not Rush Limbaugh was a Christian. I often have. And from the little clip he played yesterday, if you got a death sentence, which is basically what he got, stage 4 cancer, if you went to the doctors and you got a, I know there could be a miracle, I understand. But stage 4 death, lung cancer is pretty, it ain't good. And I often wondered if I got one of those diagnoses, the man doctor last week, if you know what I'm talking about. My wife went to the female doctor, or I guess she had a mammogram, whatever they call that thing. until you get that back, you're somewhat in doubt. They did all that stuff to you, and then you get the phone call. Hey, it all looks good. I said, good, good, good. What if you get that call that says it all looks bad? What do you do at that point? Now, I know there's some of you in here who've experienced it, know exactly what I'm talking about. And we had Todd Barham come on here last, 10 days ago, maybe it was, talked about walking through that, still walking through that, the reality of how you reassess and reevaluate your life. And I don't know if you saw Rush's little admission or announcement yesterday that he had cancer, but he said at the end of it that he's now got a deeper relationship with God. It would drive you there, wouldn't it? Why do we have to get sick to get a deeper relationship with God? Why does that happen? But of course, you know how I listen for a living. I do. I listen. I listen closely to what people say. And something I noticed, and this isn't a sham on Rush. I pray for Rush. I pray Rush gets healthy. I'm in your corner, Rush. I'm not against you. Somebody asked me about my relationship with God. Excuse me. I don't think I could answer. I don't believe I could go a sentence without saying Jesus. I don't think so. Because Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. When somebody tells me I'm on a right relationship with God, that's a meaningless term to me. It's meaningless. What God? Now, if they say Jehovah or Yeshua or, you know, one of the many names that you could use, then I get it. When somebody says, "Are you right with God?" Not the question to ask, my friends. No, where are you with Jesus? How are you with Jesus? Are you in Jesus? Jesus know your name? Does Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life, the only way to the Father, does He know your name? Excuse me. So I commented yesterday, why didn't Rush use that name? When I received Christ, I want to make sure everybody knew who I was talking about. When that God word came up, I wanted everybody to know which one I was talking about. And I think we did a show maybe a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, maybe even now, about why won't we use that name? Why will Christians not use that name? It's a great equalizer. Which God really, really matters? I pray Russia's in a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and now knows Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and that Russia really does understand that all of his talents are on loan from God, and that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Not God. See, they say Muhammad's God, right? The Mormons have their own God. Oh, I got in a fight over that one this weekend too. I said to my wife, I got an email from a relative yesterday. Actually, it was older. It was a Facebook message, maybe. It was one of those things I hardly ever check. And they were taking exception to the fact that I had mentioned something about interracial marriage. And took really took offense at it that, well, first of all, I don't believe I'd said it. I believe I danced around it. But folks, can I ask you a question? Why does what I believe have to be approved by you? And if I believe, I don't. But let's say I were to say that interracial marriage was wrong. I believed it to be wrong. Why do I have to justify that to you? There's words in there that says, I believe. It doesn't say we all have to believe. It says, I believe. And I got into it a little bit back and forth with my wife as I was explaining the discussion I had online. And Michelle, just a sweet little thing that she is, she says, well, honey, we have to be careful because that might offend some people. And I thought, so I have a right to believe what, folks, we got to get a hold of this. You have the right to believe what you want to believe. Your belief system is not contingent upon somebody else's approval. And that's the way we're living in America. That's how we got into this mess. And when I believe something, I don't care if you believe it or not. You don't have to. My life's not based on whether you believe it or not. Why are we always putting in the clutch when we're talking about what we personally believe? Now, I don't mind if we have a discussion. I'm all for that. But I refuse to apologize for something I believe or something I feel. I know my dad grew up being called a hillbilly. He made it. I still make jokes about West Virginians, right? I say the farther you get into West Virginia, the fewer teeth you have. Ha 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 ha. Well, that's humor. But there's some truth in humor. There's some truth in it. And we have no sense of humor anymore. And we get our butt up in the air over anything, right? Right? I mean, it's right in the church. We argue over stupid stuff in the church. Once saved, always saved. You don't believe that? Oh, gee, the rapture's coming. You don't believe that? Oh, I can't even fellowship with it. Jeezy peasy. If you're not free to say what you believe without people attacking you because you believe, hey, folks, I don't. But if I believed blacks were better athletes than whites, what does that bother you? Am I allowed to believe that? If I believed that Chinese people were smarter than Americans, why do I have to justify that to you? What is wrong with me having that belief? See, is just having a belief, does that make you a bigot? See, you're not a bigot, as far as I'm concerned, until you act on that belief. Until a Chinese guy comes into my office and I said, listen, I'm not going to hire you because you're too smart. I'm not for that, but for me to be able to privately go back and say to my wife, hey, I'm going to find me a Chinaman to hire because, man, they're smart. Oh, they're smart. Why? Can somebody come in here and help me on this one? Can somebody help me explain this one? Why a personally held belief that I have bothers you? I'm going to wait a minute.
Well, David, it's like that thing you hear from it's across the spectrum. It's not only you, but that people will continuously say, well, you know, I really like John, but I don't really like some of the things he says or whatever, you know. And we're just not as thick-skinned and tolerant as we probably ought to be.
So Chad, I agree with that, Chad. I can't say this. Lord, do I have to say that?
What's it say in the Bible about interracial marriage?
Well, Joseph, Joseph, people don't care about that, right? Hey, Joseph, am I allowed here in the good old U.S. of A. to say an unsaved Jew is doomed? Or is that anti-Semitism? Am I allowed to say that? Am I allowed to believe that and say that? See, there's what you believe is your own. It is who you are. It's your essence. And your right to believe what you want to believe is God-given. Now, folks, if I act on what I believe in a way that is harmful to another, now that's something different. That's different. I had a guy say to me the other day, that just, I'm sorry, I'm just truthful, right? No, Lord, I'm not going to say that. Can I say that, Lord? No, I'm not going to say it. Why? Because people take it out of context, see? And here's the truth. I'm afraid to say what I believe because somebody's going to criticize what I believe. We get in arguments on whether the earth is flat or it's not flat. We get in arguments on whether you have to be an abolitionist or a pro-lifer. We are so, the stuff we fight over is just, it's amazing.
Ollie's Bluebird.
I used that the other day, Joseph, and it's just, it just absolutely makes sense. So somebody said to me about interracial marriage in part of the discussion, maybe it was with Michelle, maybe I said, listen. Oh, my goodness. If there was no racism, if that word had never been invented. Hey, listen. If I flew my plane, my helicopter, just kidding. If I flew my helicopter to the deepest, darkest part of the Congo, I wonder if they'd recognize me as different. I bet they would. And some of my friends who go overseas for missionary work, if they go to China, they have to hide. Why? Because they look different. Well, that's racist. Really? To look at somebody and say, hey, they're different. Their skin color is different. That's racist. They're from West Virginia. They don't have any teeth. Ha, 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 ha. That's racist. What? Do you see what they've done to us, friends? It's not what you believe, it's what you do. Not what you believe, it's what you do. I spent a whole teaching handicapped children. Most of you don't know that. 20 years of I taught handicapped children. And can I tell you something? Most people felt superior to handicapped children. Most people did. They felt sorry for them. There was a sympathy that went along with being handicapped. And I appreciate that, and I understand that. The child was handicapped. You feel bad for them. Why? Because they weren't as good as the average person. Remember we used to call them mentally retarded? And they said, we can't do that anymore. That sounds so mean. Okay, I get it. It did sound mean. But then we call differently abled. We come up with stupid terms because those of us who are really, really smart understand that those who are mentally handicapped are below us. It doesn't mean that we don't love them, that they're not valuable human beings, that they should be taken care of. It doesn't mean anything about that. But the reality of it is they are measured by their ability to function cognitively. That's not racism or dumbism or whatever you want to call. That is the truth. Folks, black culture is different than white culture. Come on! Catholicism culture is different than charismatic culture. Come on! What are you saying? Don't let them box you in. Don't let them shut your mouth simply because of their own bigotry. Their own bigotry. I'm going to shut up on you. Okay? You get where I'm coming from? I hope Rush Limbaugh turned to Jesus. If he didn't, he's got some time. That's that. I'll tell you, you want to talk about mercy? Big old Rush could have dropped over dead and had no chance to repent. Gotten God's mercy, he now's got a chance to come to Jesus. Got a chance. Would I be wrong to turn to Rush Limbaugh, who I don't know, and say, "Hey, Rush, listen, man, if you don't come to Jesus, brother, you ain't going to heaven." Is that bigotry? Or is that the truth? Do I sound like an arrogant, bigoted Christian if I say the truth? If I say, sorry, hate to tell you this, Chinese people do appear to be smarter. My brother married a full-blooded Chinese girl. Their son got into Harvard. From Appalachia, from Melungeon to Harvard. Was it the Dobbenmeyer genes or was it the Chinese genes? I don't know, bluebirds, redbirds. I'll get off of this. But listen, this is more important than you understand. Because there's nothing that will silence your voice more than the approval or non-approval of other people. Nothing silences the truth more than fear of disapproval from other people. That's why our ability to share the truth is tantamount and paramount. Texas Salt and Light Brigade, is it this weekend, Chad? Is everybody coming down to your place this weekend?
Yes, sir. Yep. Starting Friday about 8 p.m. We'll kick off Friday, there.
All day Saturday, Sunday morning service and all that kind of stuff. They want to come, they got to let you know, though, don't they, Chad?
Well, I would like for them to. It's okay.
Yeah, if you're going to come, let them know. Help prepare some of that stuff. And Chad, I was going to surprise you. Michelle and I were going to surprise you and show up. I really was. But I got after Saturday morning, I got that scheduled to get into the group. St. Clair's up at the end of it. Occupy. That's all on the website. Hey, folks, come on, man. Now, help us out here. We need you guys, if you can, come to Occupy 2020. I'm going to take time to go. By the way, I heard from Mike Kerr yesterday at Hear the Watchman. Thank you, Lord. Hotel prices are about to go up. If you're going to go to Hear the Watchman in Dallas, hotel prices are about to go up. So if you're going to get that one, go ahead and get that thing scheduled. Get that in there. And Occupy and Mike Spaulding's event, and it's all right there, folks. Look, help us all out. Don't procrastinate and wait to the last minute. You say, "Well, I don't know if I can make it to Occupy." I don't know. Well, then do me a favor. Go on and donate $59 and buy a ticket. Help us meet our expenses. That's what I've been asking you to do. Okay, cool. Occupy, Hear the Watchman. Go ye therefore. Rob Pugh. I'm sorry, Rob. Rob's is before mine. I got date. People have sugar plums dancing in your head. I got dates dancing in my head. Wisconsin Christian News. Support it. Go to it. If you can't go, buy a ticket. Help meet the expenses. Cool. Anything I need to say? Hey, stay afterwards. I got something to talk about afterwards. Something to share with all of you afterwards. CoachDave.com events. It's all right there. Yeah, Larry.
You know, Mike Heath, he's planning in the planning stages now of his maggots. Faggots Are Maggots World Tour.
Yes, sir.
They're going to cover all 50 states of the United States first. But, you know, that has to do with what you were talking about earlier. And I think the reality is, until we start using terminology that graphically demonstrates truth, we're going to be on the losing end of the stick.
Right. Hey, Larry, my problem's not with homosexuals. It's what homosexuals do. It's what they do. That's why I wanted to show up in Iowa and ask Peter Buttplug, Mayor Buttplug, "Pardon me, sir. How do you and your boyfriend engage in sex? Because I would love to paint that image in the minds of people. If we don't do that, we don't win, man. If we don't do it." You say, "Well, that's not very loving." Well, it's very loving. Truth is always loving, folks. Truth is always loving. You say, "Well, that's not appropriate." Well, yes, it is appropriate for people to understand the guy that's going to go into the White House and what's going to be taking. If you're a Christian, what's going to be taking place inside the bedroom in the White House? I think it's very critical. Anybody else think I'm wrong? Listen, I don't need your approval. Does anybody agree with me? Does anybody think that the President of the United States ought to be having anal sex with a partner? Raise your hand if you think that should be going on. Man and a man. I don't see any hands. Right Wing Watch, go ahead. Play that clip. Play that whole clip. Because Right Wing Watch, you guys are the bigots. You're the ones that aren't tolerant of my views. You guys are. You on the left are intolerant of my views. I have the right to believe what I want to believe. And what I believe doesn't bother you, doesn't impact you, not one bit. And what I say doesn't impact you, not one bit. And I'm not going to not say it because I'm afraid that you're going to say something mean about me. I believe sodomy is dirty. I believe it's filthy, dirty. That's what I believe. I believe. And I believe any man who engages in that with a man or with a woman, I might add, I believe that's deviant, and I believe that that should be shunned. Anybody agree with me? Will somebody give me an amen so I know I'm not alone? Anybody else out there say that I agree?
Amen.
Okay. Anybody else think that that shouldn't be in the White House?
No, because I think what he believes in, being in the position he's in, could affect us.
Well, it could affect us. But it doesn't matter. The point is, as an American citizen, I'm going to point it out and say, that guy who's doing that, he is unqualified to be president of the United States. My opinion, my view, I don't care what you think, I have the right to say it. And I have the right to believe it. You with me? Cool. Hey, Jared, click on the email. No, yeah, Jared, click on the Create an Equal graphic video. Now, folks, you may not want to watch this. Yeah, I had a conversation with Mark Harrington last night, by the way. A good conversation. Mark's one of the good guys. Create an Equal. Mark's one of the good guys. And what do you think would happen? I want you to imagine with me now. This video being played in every church in America on Sanctity of Life Sunday. Sure, it's already passed us. What if the government mandated that this video be shown in every church in America? 1 minute and 35 seconds, Mark Harrington, entitled, "This Is Why We Fight." Hang on, listen. Extremely graphic. Wait a minute. Not extremely fake, extremely graphic. Wait, how about this? The truth of abortion. Would that be okay to say that? Am I going to get censored on Facebook or YouTube because this is too graphic for people? Am I? Are they going to silence my voice and what I have the right to believe and the right to show? Are they? I will find out. Extremely graphic. Folks, listen, I'm telling you, you may not want to watch. Go ahead. Fight for the victims. Now, that may be hard for some of you to watch because maybe you've engaged. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you took part. Maybe you paid for. Maybe you walked in there and got in the stirrups and let them spread your legs and did that to your child. Well, there's freedom, there's liberty in Christ. But shame on you and shame on me if we don't show these pictures for fear of personal guilt. If nothing else, showing this picture will give justice to the little baby that you killed. You know the old idea of out of sight, out of mind? I'll just forget about it. It's going on 6,000 times a day. And I've said for a long time that abortion will end when women come out and tell the truth about what happened to them. When women who've had abortions, don't hide in the dark corners, trapped in that guilt their whole lives. But when they come out and they publicly say what they did and how much they regretted it and how out of love and in honor of the little baby that they mutilated, they're going to make sure that it never happens to another baby. That will turn the tide. That's what will turn the tide. And if that's you, whether you be a woman or whether you be a man, and you were in some way participated in what we just looked at, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness in your sins. But for you to know to do good and not to do it, for you to stand up and speak up and rescue others, and you don't do it because of your own personal guilt, folks, that's idolatry. That's idolatry. Your lips, the words out of your mouth, have the ability to influence others. How dare you remain silent on it? God help us, man. If God said, if those are really God's children and he's up there and he's keeping a tally, God help us. Anybody comment on that? I want to show that.
Hey, Coach. Yes. I think most churches would be more offended by that than they would be by the halftime at the Super Bowl.
I think you're probably right. Hey, Coach.
Listen to the Proverbs, because you and I both know, being on the front line some 25 years, when it comes to the slaughtering of the preborn, you know, we know that those women are going in there, those men are taking their wives or girlfriends in there. It all has to do with money. But listen to what it says in Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper. Isn't that just mind-blowing? But whoever confesses them and forsakes them will have mercy. So the very thing that they're killing their baby for their prosperity, not their posterity, God says you never will. And you say out of sight, out of mind? Nothing is out of the sight of the Lord. Everything hidden will be revealed. And out of the mind, knowing many women, including close family relatives who have renounced their abortion and have received the mercies of God, it never leaves their mind.
Never leaves their mind. It never leaves their mind, folks. It never does. It's like I thought about a good word, Dale. I thought about David Arthur when he was in Susan Collins' office, and he talked about ex-trannies being a community. Community. Where's the community of those who killed their babies? Is that community out there? What if that community rose up with one voice? What if that community demanded rights for the preborn? What if they did? What if we weren't so calloused and nonchalant about it? I've said all along, the abortion will end when the church says it will, not until. No politician's going to end abortion. None. And no country's going to be blessed who participates in it. All right, let's shift gears here. I got some good stuff here. Do I want to go there? Is that where I want to go, Lord? Anybody got anything you want to say before I get ready to shift gears here? Quiet crowd today.
Well, Dave, I was sent an email from a pastor, a quote-unquote pastor, Chuck Pierce. Have you ever heard of him? And the video was about the winds of change that are sweeping through and all this. But after I got done listening to it, I realized He said, the Lord and God. He never said Jesus.
Hmm.
And he never proclaimed. You know, so I questioned at the end of this video, and this is what I'm trying. I'm just, my point is, when it listen to what is being spoke to us, is on whose authority are you proclaiming things? Your own or God's?
That's right, Chad. Hey, Chad, and the Lord, that's not his name, is it? The Lord is his position. That's not his name.
That's right. That's great. And so I just, when I was hearing that, I was like, hmm. And so I emailed the person that sent that to me, and I just said, hey, I noticed that. I just made those observations on there, and they go, you know, I didn't notice that. So it just shows you that, I guess my point is that we need to be testing the spirits at a greater level every time anything that we hear, that we put in our brain, that we put through our eyes are the windows to the soul, our ears are the windows, I would say, to your heart. So we just need to be aware of that, in my opinion. Thank you.
Okay, Craig just put up there, the Lord is my shepherd. Excuse me. Hey, Craig, that was before Jesus. Jesus is my shepherd. Jesus is. Jesus is my Lord. But until we are, until those two are clearly connected, that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God, until we make that very, very clear, we're not identifying who we're talking about here. We're not identifying, right? Now, those, we could get in a debate about Yeshua and Yehovah and all of that, and I think it, I get it. I think it's all legit. But I think in the American culture, in the English-speaking languages of the world, English-speaking languages, that's crazy. Jesus is the name that we recognize. Jesus is the name that's above all names. Not Lord, not God. Jesus is that name. Go ahead. Is that Larry somebody?
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Until we connect Jesus and Lordship, we're out in the wilderness. Everybody seems to have connected Jesus and salvation as Savior. But until you connect Jesus as Lord, he's not your Savior.
That's what I would say. we have to connect.
Well, that's what I'm about to do for you. They're just bombs ready to drop for anybody who wants to study the scripture. And the first one is John chapter 17, verse 11. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, your name, which you have given me. There's the first identifying. The second one is in John chapter 8:56, where Jesus is debating with the Pharisees, and they're saying, you're not yet even of 50 years old. And he said, Abraham, look to this day. He says, because before your father Abraham was, I am.
Mm-hmm. So up on the screen right now is John 17:11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Oh, I got someplace I want to go, Lord. Either crack that whip and let me go, or pull on those reins.
There's a simple test, Coach. John gives it to us in 1 John. He says, every spirit that says that Jesus did not come in flesh, that he isn't the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Son of God, if you can't identify that, you may better check yourself, because he says that is the spirit of Antichrist.
Randy, if the word Jesus doesn't come out of your mouth, you need to check your heart.
That's right, Coach. That's a fact.
And again, that's culture, right? We've been culturized. God bless America. What God? That's why we're in the mess we're in.
Well, look how they baptized in the New Testament, Coach. Jesus is baptized in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And once you enter Acts, the name they baptized in was the name of Jesus, which is the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, brother. It's a profound thing. I've always used the illustration. It's hard, brother. How do you explain the Trinity? And if I can have 1 minute, this is my laity terms. If I go down to Lake Pontchartrain and try to grab a gallon of water out of there with my bare hands, I'll never be able to do it. But if I freeze that lake over, I can go down there and chip a gallon of ice out, but ice is water. And now I can behold its glory. And if I take that same ice and I throw it in a steam locomotive engine, guess what? I can make that engine move. Steam is nothing but water. Three different things in one. Look at you. You're a flesh, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. You're three. God made us in that same likeness, three in one.
Amen. That's what I said. Tell people, there it is right before you. Just look at water. CO2, water. Ice, CO2, water. Steam, CO2, water. Three different forms of it, right? Three different forms.
H2O, correct. Yeah. I would also say this, that Greek word for name, onomo, secondarily means a label. Primarily, it means the essence of who a person is.
Amen. 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 So, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why don't we use that name? Why don't we use that name? In culture, in society, not in your church, not in your private prayers. Are you ashamed?
Because the demons recognize, they say, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but I don't know you. So we have no authority unless we're invoking that name, Jesus. That's the name that the demons recognize.
That's the divider, isn't it? The Muslims don't like that name. Muslims don't like that name, that's for sure.
Coach,
they may recognize him as the Son of God, but they don't believe he is the Son of God.
Coach, listen how emphatic John was. Listen, I want to read verse 1. 1 John 2:22. Here's the question. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Now, this isn't talking about the Antichrist, the individual. This is talking about the spirit of Antichrist, which is in the world then. It's in the world now. Okay, that's the question. Here's the answer. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son.
Wow.
And then the next verse goes right with it. Coach, that's the test to identify, are you of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or if you have another spirit? That's the test.
Randy, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Boy. But he that not acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. That's why I love to go listen to these beautiful prayers done in public by our elected officials. And at the end of it, they say, and we ask all these things in his name. Whose name? His? Is somebody here in him know? His name. What you talking about, Willis?
Yep.
What name? And you watch how many times politicians stand up there, pastors included, and say the prettiest prayer, and then at the end of it, don't stamp it with the name of Jesus. They don't stamp it with Jesus' name. Why? Is it important? Why is it important? Why is the name of Jesus important? Because it carries all authority. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Where is that? Where is that, Dale? Or where is that, Jared? That's in Matthew 28, I think. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth.
John chapter 16. He says, all authority is given unto me. Now command you to go out and trample on devils, kick them out, lay hands on the sick, baptize in the name of Jesus.
Okay, you found it in Luke. Jared found it in 28:18, right? So in other words, when I say a prayer, see, listen, folks. When we're praying that prayer in Jesus' name, we are identifying to all spiritual entities and forces the authority and power that's been given to us. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. There it is. There it is. So when I say a prayer, at the end of the prayer, I stamp it with the approval, Jesus said it. I'm doing this in Jesus' authority. Otherwise, whose authority are you praying in?
Well, Dave, if we think about our money, on the back of the money, the dollar bill that's printed by the Federal Reserve, Okay. It says, in God we trust. Okay. But see, the problem is the God on that dollar bill is gold, oil, and drugs. It's not Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, if you go back to the days of the Romans, you know, when we invoking the name of Jesus, well, they understood documents or whatever, it had to have the Roman seal to make it official. Brother, that is the seal of authority right there. Jesus's name is the stamp of authority. And
when I baptize people, because we get in an argument over this.
Oh, yeah. I know where you're going.
Those Jesus-only people. Oh, it was Jesus-only, right? We run into that as well. I baptize people. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. That's what I do. I cover all the bases, right? Oh, my goodness. As if I'm going to stand before the Lord, and he says, daggone it. Man, I wanted you so much to enter into the kingdom, but you didn't. That's legalism.
Well, Coach, I believe that's where we'll come before the Lord. And any person, even as much as I admire Robert Klaus and his wealth of knowledge of theological understanding, when we get before God, we're going to realize we got some holes in our theology.
we got some
absolutisms, and you know what? We better get before God and not tell him. By the way, Jesus, you were wrong on this. You know, we're just going to step back and go, you're right.
Yeah, that's right. It ain't going to matter at that point, everybody.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. If we don't use his name, will he know ours?
Hmm. That's a great question. But again,
Mark, that sounds like an opening line of a sermon.
That's a lot of that is out of ignorance, right? When is it pastor? Is anybody that you fellowship with, anybody speaks into your life, have they ever brought that up to you? Have we ever brought that up? That we're going to use that name of Jesus. We live in a multicultural, pluralistic society where there's all kinds of gods, and it ain't Beyonce, and it ain't J-Lo, and it isn't Kobe Bryant. There's one name given among men. Under heaven, or by we must.
You know,
one name. Why don't we,
Dave?
Why don't we use that name? Yes.
I was going to say with Rush. The other thing that is interesting is he said it's a private matter.
Yeah.
And to me, that's as startling as anything because I won't question his salvation, but a born again believer understands that you're called to share the gospel. It's not a private matter. So if he gets the issue of sharing God and Christ wrong, you got to wonder about other aspects of his faith.
Well, hey, Roger, if I was going to say, hey, Roger, let's go out to eat. And you would say, okay, what do you want? And I said, I'd like to have a piece of meat. I think I'd like to have a good old piece of meat. And you said, okay, let's go. What would be the question that I would ask?
Well, what type of meat?
Or where?
Or where, yes. Type or where?
Where? Pretty important to identify certain things, isn't it? Say, Roger, you owe me a meal at the top. Top. You owe me a meal there. I know where that is. Let's go. You say, I owe you a meal at Mickey D's, McDonald's. So you serving up steaks or McDonald's hamburger? Big Macs. Which God are you serving? Yeah. Here, Andy.
Okay. All these prayers that are going up by people everywhere, all over the world, every day, every minute, talk about God, 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 hear my prayer, God. How many of those does he recognize if they're not coming through Christ?
Well, there's certainly no authority applied to him, is there?
No, there is none. That's my point. So people are asking for God's help and intervention. Well, he's saying, why don't you come through my son? I can hear you. You can have authority if you'll do that. He's not recognizing much of that that's not coming to Christ.
Yeah, let's also recognize, though,
I would probably
that Jesus instructed us not to pray to him. He didn't even instruct us to pray through him. He instructed us to pray our Father, which art in heaven. He didn't say, pray, Jesus in heaven, go to the Father and tell him this. We got to keep things in retrospect of what the Word of God really says.
It's through the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, to the Father.
And I think
in Jesus' authority to the Father. Go ahead, Dale.
I think that in a person who is dividing the Word of God, in other words, when you and I pray, you know, we're going to be cautious and careful in the name and how we pray. But to someone who just don't know or is ignorant to them simple things, I believe God sees the heart and the intent of a man. I mean, when I cried out for the Lord to save me, I didn't know of and I didn't pray in the name of the Father. I just cried out to the Lord and he heard me and he lifted me up out of my miry pit, you know? So to that extent, I agree 100%. And also, but for an unbeliever or somebody who is new in the faith, they need to be taught. But I agree that when I pray, I do pray. I pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen, Dale. But what I'm saying, Coach, is all the religions and the different people that want to approach this a different way, they're trying to use their identification through their understanding, which isn't correct, to try to get God to answer prayer, and it just doesn't happen. I agree with Dale 100% on that person, but the religions of the world that are trying to get him to be on their side through another name, this is not going to ever happen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Look at all these people, they smoke cigars, they smoke cigarettes, they overeat, but when a cancer comes to their mind or their body, they start crying out for Jesus. Well, mm-hmm. all along they knew smoking that cigarette or smoking that cigar or drinking that liquor is killing their soul, their body. So why all of a sudden they want to start crying out?
Well, because death becomes a reality to them. That's why I said that's everything. Death is a great equalizer, is it not? It's a great equalizer.
I don't have any problem with a person crying out in a time of need. I mean, the Bible is full of that type of testimony. People are brought to God through. People are brought in different ways to Christ. Some out of abundance, some out of poverty. The Holy Spirit decides who he's going to bring under what condition. So I don't have a problem with a man living a gluttony life and he is awoken to his sin because of the consequence of that gluttony life. That is pure Bible.
I heard a wise man say one time, if you think it's hard coming to Christ when you're poor, wait till you're rich. And I don't know. How deeply committed do you think Kobe Bryant was to Jesus? Did anybody ever hear him ever mention that name publicly? Anybody? I don't think I did. Patrick Mahomes, I heard him say it the other night. I heard a couple people. I never heard that come out of Kobe's mouth. I pray he knew the Lord. They said he went to... They say he went to Mass the day he was dying. He and his daughter went to Mass the day. I pray he knew Jesus. I'd never heard it come out of his mouth, not ever. Not one time.
Yeah, he was, Coach, he, you know, and, you know, just weighing the hearts of a man because he was, let's put it this way, he was a devout Catholic, practicing Catholic, where many are just Catholics by profession. In other words, they don't even act like it. So, right. The Lord says, woe unto the stumbling blocks who come. But, you know, going back to that Jesus, there's absolutely no doubt about it. I came to Jesus at a kitchen table. Some come to Jesus at a church altar. Some come to Jesus at a grocery store checkout line. But there's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus.
Amen.
Not through religion, not through Catholicism, not through your pastor, not through me. Amen. Bless you, Coach.
Thank you, man. That's a perfect.
I think we need to put in perspective the importance of our discussion here, and that is this discussion is not about whether Kobe Bryant was a Christian or not, or whether Rush Limbaugh at this instant is a Christian or not. The purpose of this discussion should be, how should we process this information as we present Christ to others at the leading of the Holy Spirit?
Or who is Jesus, right, Larry? Ultimately, it comes down to that.
Yeah, if you're not telling people who Jesus is properly, you hadn't done them any favors.
That's right. That's why Jesus said to the apostles when they were getting ready to go into Caesarea Philippi, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" See, he didn't say, "Who am I?" He didn't say that. He said, "Fellas, what are they saying about me? Who out there in the world today, what are men saying about me?" And you get a lot of different answers, don't you? And finally, what'd they say? Where is that, Jim? Is that Luke 16? I think that's Luke.
Matthew 16.
Thank you, Randy. Matthew 16. Pull it up there real quick.
But he says, "Who do you say?"
Hey, Randy, you got ahead of me, right? You got ahead of me. Yeah. Then he stood there and says, 16. And Simon Peter, 13, Jared, I'm sorry. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Hey, what are they saying about me?" And now it says, "Who do men?" Not you guys. "What are they saying about me?" And they said, "Well, gee, some say you're John the Baptist, or Elias. And some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Some say you're Joel Osteen. Some say you're Rick Warren." So, I mean, wow. He said, "That's cool. But who do you say I am?" If you don't have that personal revelation of who he is, it ain't no good to you. It ain't no good. And Simon Peter, the loudmouth, said, "Well, dude, you're the man. You're the Christ." And Jesus said, wow. Can you imagine if Jesus, like, he falls back, says, "Whoa, blessed are you, Simon. For flesh and blood's not revealed that unto you." Man, he said, "You just got a Holy Spirit download right there, dude. You're the first person in the history of the world to know who I am. I'm the Son of God." And he said, "I say unto you, you're Peter. You're the rock. You're the rock, Peter. You're the rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church." See, that's a whole different teaching. I don't want to get into it. It's the revelation of who Jesus is. The revelation of who Jesus is. That's the rock. The revelation of who he is. But now you got it, man. You got it now, Pete. Let's go, baby.
Amen, Robert, Coach.
You ready, Robert?
Well, Coach, back there in John 14, verse 7, "If ye had known me, you should known my Father also."
Hey, how about this one? He said to the Pharisees, "My Father and I are one and the same." You guys know Ephesians.
Hey, Coach, Ephesians 2:8 says that we are saved by grace. When you look that word grace up, it is the revelation of God on a man's heart. That is the definition. It's not mercy. It's of grace. We're not saved until God reveals himself to us. We can learn all about him, but if he don't reveal himself to us, we're not saved. That's why we are saved first by grace. God reveals himself to us on our heart.
So who do you say he is?
He is the Lord. He is the King.
Very, very personal. Who do you say he is? And see, you can only answer that question with a revelation of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit give you that revelation. It's the only way you can ever know it. Amen.
Hey, Coach. Come
on. Yeah, go ahead.
That's why I like asking people if they're possessed by the Holy Ghost. If you go ask somebody if they're saved, you're generally going to get a general answer. But you say, "Are you possessed by the Holy Ghost?" That messes them all up.
Well said, Alan. That's true, man. Robert, February 4th. I assume you're in here today.
Yep, I'm in here. February 4th.
You usually get into these theological discussions. February 4th.
Okay. says too many contemporary Christians have left their first love.
Stop a minute, Robert. Who would that be?
That'd be a lot of people. I mean, Revelation 2.
Your first love.
First love is Jesus. First love of the Lord.
Okay, come on. Go ahead.
Too many Christians have left their first love, him who first loved them, to love the world which hates them. How smart is that? The world hates us, yet we love the world.
Amen.
God loves us, and we disown him.
Yes, sir.
Mighty soldiers of valor are little babes in the parlor. Which are we? Mighty Christians of valor are hard to find in these last days of easy believism, modern hyper grace, and effortless Christianity. You know, just sit and do nothing, whatever. Amen. Too many remain sleeping in bed with the world, covered up with their false security blankets. Instead of being equipped for service and fed sound doctrine, too many are ensnared by contemporary Christianity, sucking their thumbs and waiting to be cuddled and bottle-fed with milky sermons and spoon-fed with pastoral pastries. Only until they quit playing with their idols and crying for things and begin to hunger for God and his word and cry out in repentance will they escape the coming refining fires.
Well, they're coming too.
Yeah, they're coming. But they can experience his kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, when they wake up, rise up, grow up, and run the race set before him with self-discipline and endurance. So we got a job to do.
Yep.
Fight to fight. Only until their dirty religious diapers are changed through repentance and they put on the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience and put on the full armor of God completely, will they begin to walk as new creatures they are in Christ boldly.
Mm.
Then they will become the mighty men and women of valor for the King as he ought victoriously.
Amen, Robert.
So we got it. Got to rise up.
We got it. We got it. I'm going to double back, right? I'm going to double back. I'm sick and tired, see, of people telling me how a Christian ought to behave. It's just as deep and just as thick in the religious world. The secular world wants to tell me what I can believe and what I can say and what I can think. And make no mistake about it, so does the religious world. They want to tell me what I can say and what I can think and what I can believe. When in fact, belief is a very, very personally deep held, I don't even know what you call it. I know
moral conviction of a holy.
What's that?
Belief and faith are the same interchanged words in the Greek, which is pistis or pistos. It is a moral conviction in a holy God, brother.
Amen.
That's it. My conviction.
When we gather here every morning, when I'm upstairs and I'm preparing, and I come walking down those steps to come into the studio, my commitment to me and my commitment to my Lord is to say what I believe to be the truth, no matter how many of you get mad. You understand? You don't have to believe me. You don't have to agree with me. You have no right to tell me what I can and can't believe, what I can and can't say. You have no right to censor what is coming out of my mouth. That's my job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. You can correct me. I'm open for correction and direction, but you don't have any idea. You have no right to censor me just because you don't believe. Go ahead, Raj.
No, I think you hit what I was going to say on the issue of correction. I think we all need men that are around us who, if we go astray on biblical principles or writings, that they can help pull us back. So just as we have the ability to have our opinion, we need, as men of God, to be open to a person, God sending a person who gives us wise counsel on a particular topic.
That's right.
So I think that the correction's important. I think it's just an important thing for us to talk, that we talk briefly about.
And so when people say, I appreciate that, Roger, and when people say, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree, I'm okay with that. We don't do that. We don't really do that, see? We don't really do that. When we say we'll agree to disagree, what we're really saying is, I'm right, you're wrong, and we'll just leave it at that. That's really what we mean. When you agree to disagree, you still haven't come to the truth. Still haven't come to the truth. And it's the truth that is the most critical thing of all. Shall know the truth. Jesus is the truth. And the truth, if you know it, will set you free. The truth does not set you free. The truth, if you know it, will make you free. Bless you. See you tomorrow.